Hi, it's Michelle. Thank you for joining me for this segment of Daily Bread with Jam, a Holy Spirit You Channel podcast. We are Whosoever Will Channel, a Whosoever Will podcast, which means that wherever you are in your walk today, if you are seeking the Lord, considering seeking the Lord, need guidance, encouragement, we come together. That's what we come together to do. None of us knows everything. We all see in part, and so the revelation that we get is from God Himself. And perhaps just believing that something I say today might help you along your way, or that He will put people in your path that will help you as you continue to seek Him first. All of that being said, today we are still continuing in our series of pivoting out of cursing into blessing, springboarding out of pivoting of cursing into blessing. And today's segment is, are you overcoming or undercoming? Overcoming or undercoming? We don't realize sometimes, so I'm going to, I'm getting ahead of myself, so we're going to hop right into this. Are you overcoming or undercoming? To whom much is given, much is required. And that is on all fronts. That is not, when we think about giving, we generally start with the thing that's last, which means physical, material, financial. For God, He can provide 100% of 100%. So anything that any one of us that has existed, exists now, and that is going to exist, He can provide 100% of 100%. If not, He would not be God. If He put someone down here that He couldn't take care of, He would not be God. He is not the problem, and I've said this before. But part of what we don't realize is that our language, our words, He said, my word specifically, He's talking about Himself. My word is spirit, meaning that He's making a distinction. All words are spirit. And then He says, and it might as well have been, but it is life instead of your words that are carrying the spirit of death, the spirit of destruction, the spirit of harm, the spirit of trauma, the spirit of all of these things, spirit, soul, and body. So He's saying, yes, my word is spirit. We're spirit first. So if we're spirit first, then our words are spirit. So the saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, was a lie the first time it was said, because words are spiritual. So when he says, my word is spirit, spirit and in His life. And what we don't realize in this whole concept and this whole series of pivoting out of cursing into blessing is that how we, not just what we believe, but how that is then translated into our souls and what happens there. Because what we believe illuminates or lights up or guides our process, our soul realm processes. Emotions, intellect, ego, personality, psychology, mentality, psyche. If I've left out anything, I'm sure you'll let me know. But all of these things reside in the soul, which is the seat of government for each and every one of us. Some time ago, and I'm dating myself, and I don't mind doing that because I shouldn't be here to begin with, but at any rate, I shouldn't have been here according to some accounts, but the Lord knew better. So some time ago, and it may be still in some more rural areas, they would say you have to go to the county seat. If you wanted to take care of particular business, you had to go to the county seat. The seat of what? The county seat of government. So we have the soul is the seat of government for us as individuals. Now, why is that so important? Because we don't understand that. The fruit is love. If it's by faith, it must also be by love. To everyone is given a measure of faith, which means that everyone is given a measure of love also to cause it to work, but we can't work it ourselves, right? So He's given us everything we need as pertaining to life and godliness. But one of the fruit of love is self-control. Love is the overarching. For love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your heart and soul and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So love is integral. It is woven in. It is the tapestry. It is the intention. It is the desire. It is the fulfillment of the purpose of God in and through in Christ by the power of Spirit, of Holy Spirit, in and through us. Love. One of the fruit of the Spirit of love, so Holy Spirit then is the Spirit of love, is self-control. Where is that regulated? Behavior is a product of self-control or lack thereof. Belief is the instigator. So it has to be, so that means belief comes out of the Spirit. Belief is Spirit. Why? Because we can't see it. We have to believe. Anything that's in the Spirit, we have to believe in order to associate with. So belief is spiritual. Here's why. We're Spirit first. So belief then illuminates, whether that belief is light, bringing light, or darkness. Belief then illuminates the soul, which is the seat of government of each and every individual person. That's why free choice matters. That's why he created us that way. Now, I will say, and I've been more times than I care to remember, understanding that, yes, he's not gonna violate our choices, but we've all heard of detours. I have a few stories about detours, a few stories about that. So when we think about, when you think about your behavior and your speech, it's a product of your belief. Because those beliefs get then filtered through the soul, and the soul then determines or it informs, motivates intention, behavior, speech. So self-control is key. But the question, not even so much a question, it's not really a question. What we fail to realize is that we're undercoming and not overcoming, so we can't speak life. We cannot speak life from an undercoming position. There's, you all, those of you that truly know me, and those of you that even know me by now, at least to some degree, in part, of course, know that I'm a musician, I'm a singer, I've loved music all of my life, ever since I can remember, it, up to and including today, even though there was a time when I did not have a voice. And so the Lord has brought to my remembrance, I think I shared on a previous segment, about I'm doing some wrestling. I'm coming out of it, and I'm grateful for that. The blessing actually broke through late last night, earlier today. I was pretty much up all night. And I say that to say God is faithful who promised. And I shared that I had been wrestling I don't even know what it is. I didn't know what it was. But there was breakthrough around some things late last night, early this morning, which I am grateful for. But we have to remember that we cannot speak life from an undercoming position. That's why we have to pivot. He calls us, and I was saying, and what I was getting to with the music is, I'm still a huge Commission fan. I love all genres of music. Not too big on hard rock, but okay. And there might be some other things. But not to be critical of those just aren't the things that I gravitated to. My parents were, as I've shared before, very much open and listened to very different types of music. We had our favorites. I mean, there were different things, different favorites for different days, different favorites for different holidays. We listened to different things in the car. Depending on where we were in the world, we listened to different types of music. So I am grateful and fortunate to have had that experience. I will also say that as I grew up into my own faith, as I begin to make my own choices as it relates to God and my belief, then there's still certain people and certain groups that stick out. One of those groups that was really, I would say, transformative in my walk because of the time, where I was in my life, what I was planning to do, is Commissioned. And so you'll hear me talk about them a lot. But a lot of their songs are very, the words actually are biblical in most instances. And you all need to watch that. Stop saying stuff just because it sounds good, because the Lord is holding you accountable for these words. But the Lord brought to me, in part of this wrestling, you know, I'm not letting you go until you bless me, Jesus. And so he brought to my remembrance a song. It's called Here I Am. And I used to listen to it all the time, like I did all of them many, many years ago. And the song is called Here I Am. And I'm thinking, why am I listening to this? Here I Am. But at the end it says, I'm more than a conqueror because you love me. I'm more than a conqueror. More than a conqueror speaks to overcoming. That's not just an aspiration. That's not an aspirational statement. Now, for us, it is aspirational because we have not yet begun to demonstrate, or we have not gotten to the place where we can allow Holy Spirit, or have allowed Holy Spirit to demonstrate what it means to be an overcomer. But you can't be more than a conqueror if you're undercoming. Overcoming, and more than a conqueror is not, it's not a political term. It is the overcoming of sin. It has nothing to do with politics. It has nothing to do with current events. It has nothing to do with all of those things that can tend to be very destructive in nature. More than a conqueror is overcoming the wrestling within me. Now, if I am constantly in an undercoming position, if that's how I think, if that's how I act, if that's how I behave, if I'm not doing anything to regulate that, and by that what I mean is I'm not humbling myself, I'm not seeking God first, I'm not turning from my own wicked ways, I'm not praying, I'm not asking him, inviting him in, I'm not asking him for him to lead me in the way, then I'm going to be in a position of undercoming. That's what we were born into. He says, no, you're more than a conqueror. Why? Because I already did all of this. I already took care of all of this. And he's not talking about us going out and conquering everybody else. He's talking about us conquering that thing in us that wants to be against him, against God. We all have it. That's why he gave his life. So I've been listening to this song, of that one and several others. Here I Am, and the end of it is more than a conqueror. That's the piece that he really wanted me to hear. But the whole song is appropriate based on the season. I get songs. He'll give me songs or bring songs back to my remembrance based on the season. Where am I? I've been wrestling for several weeks. And so this is the song. Yesterday, when I did that recording, it was just something in the past few days when I did the recording, I was really at more of a breaking point in terms of, what are we doing, Lord? What are we doing? What is it that you want me to do? Everything that I think you told me to do, I've done. And if you haven't told me, then I have to wait. I'm going to wait. Flesh profits nothing. No flesh shall glory in your presence. So I'm not going that route. As hard as it is, I'm not going that route. Because let's face it, sometimes we just want to give up. But even if you feel like giving up, what I would encourage you to do instead is just take a break. And just ask the Lord to come. Just let him know, I'm just going to sit here until you come get me. And he's always in the room, but he's not always manifesting himself in the same ways. So I want you to be encouraged about being more than a conqueror, and understand that the context in which that is used has to do with us overcoming and being more than a conqueror over those things that keep us from being overcomers. Overcomers of what? Overcomers of the effects of sin on our lives and on the lives of our families and our friends and those we love, and even people that we don't know. People we may not even agree with. We have such a horrible view of each other. And it is not warranted. It's not, there is nothing. When we stand before God, there is nothing we're going to be able to say that is going to excuse our behavior toward one another if we are not operating in love. And I don't mean our version of love. I mean agape. Why? Because he said, I have given you everything pertaining to love or to life and godliness. So he's not accepting our excuses because he made it possible for us not to have any. He's even told us, with every temptation, I provide a way of escape. So everything we think in our sly, slick minds that we can come back with, he's already answered. There's nothing new under the sun, which means all of the scheming and whatever else we might be doing to each other, thinking that God doesn't know the difference, he knew before he let us come here. He knew before he unleashed us. He knew before we got here. That's why the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. So understand that the process of God transforming us in the name of Jesus by the power of Holy Spirit has to do with identifying what we believe. What is it that you believe? And ask yourself the hard questions, because part of our issue is, one, we don't ask the hard questions. We're waiting for somebody else to give us the answer. Well, somebody else did. Jesus, God gave us the answers. He wrote the test, but he gave us the answers to the test. And then he told us, this is the teacher that's going to come and show you what you need to do to pass the test. And after you've been tried, you're going to come out as pure gold. Already told us everything we need to know. We're still scrolling. To what? Right? So we have to ask ourselves the hard questions. Many times we don't want to do that because we like the idea of ourselves and other people that we have, even though it is way off kilter and can't or could be. It's not an all or nothing situation, but a lot. And so for us, the key is that we have to understand who God is, that he's already made a way. And all we're doing when we humble ourselves, when we seek his face, when we seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then he provides. If it's by faith, it must also be by love. Love is the answer. And we say that like we mean it, but we don't really know what it means because we don't love at the agape level, which is I love everyone, even if I don't agree with them. That we are still trying to negotiate things on our own behalf when, in fact, that puts us at odds with God. We don't see that because he's already done it. He's like, what are you going to do? What are you going to do better than what I've already done? And he's given us those choices. So when we have to ask ourselves, what is it that I believe? Do I believe in God? If I do believe in God, what do I believe about him? And did I get that from me or did I get that from somebody? And did they know what they were talking about? Does it align with what is written, the logos word of God? Does it align with the revelation? If I am filled or believe myself to be filled with the Spirit, have I looked at Christ? We used to say, what would Jesus do? I always said, what did he do? Go look at the Bible. What did he do? And what didn't he do? How about that? A lot of us need to be talking about what didn't he do, some of this stuff we're doing. What would Jesus do? No. What did he do? And we wouldn't have to ask the question of what would he do if we were led of the Spirit, because Holy Spirit would get a hold of us. There is no conviction. There is no conviction like the Spirit of the conviction of the Lord. It is something, it is a different kind of pain. It's a different kind of thing. It is a spiritual ache. So we have to ask ourselves, what do I believe in God? Do I believe that he is and the rewarder of those that diligently seek him? Do I believe he's given me the measure of faith? If so, what am I doing with that measure of faith? Do I believe these things? And are these are the things I want for my life? Do I want to break the generational curses, or do I just want to keep talking about them? Do I understand that there's some spiritual genealogy that I inherited, and do I also understand that I'm also sowing seed right now? And that God will not be mocked, because whatever I sow, I'm going to reap, even though I may be throwing seed at other people. What is it that I really believe? And if I do believe in God, but I haven't gotten my way and things haven't gone my way and I had some plans and they got disrupted, am I angry with God? Have I forgiven God? Have I expressed that? Have I wrestled with that? And have I wrestled that out to the point where I'm forgiving God? Or am I holding that against him, saying, I can't question God, but I'm going to be unforgiving to everybody else? Am I a sheep or am I a wolf? Am I a, what is it, a wolf in sheep's clothing? Am I telling everybody else, is it do as I say and not as I do? Or is it I'm walking the walk, I'm talking the talk? Because the faith walk is not a cakewalk. Where do I stand? I'm not asking you to answer for me, and I'm not going to answer for you. You have to answer for yourself. And what thing, he says, study to show yourself approved. Why? Why does he say that? Work out your own salvation. He doesn't mean apart from him. He's saying that to the degree that we can encourage and help each other, let's do that. To the degree that we can share experiences and information and revelation to encourage one another, let's do that. But guess what? At the end of the day, you got to stand before him just like I do. Study to show yourself approved. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Why? And then he says, the devils believe and they tremble. He's saying, you don't even tremble. Now, none of this can be accomplished, by the way, apart from the leading of Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is the master of transformation. That's why Jesus had to complete the work for Holy Spirit to be poured out. Holy Spirit, what would Holy Spirit be poured into if Jesus hadn't come and manifested the work in earth, in and on the earth? The embodiment of God himself. So Jesus comes and he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We take it as a competition. And he's saying, no, not quite what I meant. By the way, I knew you were going to do that. So ask yourself the hard questions. What do you believe? What do you believe? What do you believe about God? What do you believe about other people? Are you going to call God God and then tell him he made a mistake creating some people because they don't look like you? They don't act like you? They don't live like you? Is that what we're doing? The earth is the Lord's. The world, the earth is the planet. The world is the people. The world and all they that are there, that therein are. So you're going to go tell Jesus that what he did on the cross was only for some people, not all of people? How is that possible? He says, I gave my life for all. For God so loved the world, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever would believe in him should not perish. Not because of him, but because of your choices. So we're going to go to God, we're going to tell him that only a certain kind of people that looks a certain kind of way can exist? Okay, I'm not going to say I want to be there for that conversation when you have it with him, because I don't want to be there. And my prayer for each and every single one of us is that we deal with everything, we wrestle out everything in us that is keeping us from seeking the face of God like we're supposed to. He even warns us. He said, many are going to come to me in that day. What day? Judgment day. What is judgment? Accountability day. Because even the things that you're using to deny me, saith the Lord, I gave to you. So on accountability day, when I ask you what you did with my stuff, like I asked the servant that I gave the one talent to, because that's why that's in there. We think he's talking about money and investment, which he is, but he's also talking about what happens when you don't invest his money or his resources, or it's also about accountability. What did you do with my resources? And many of us are like that servant with the one talent who could have multiplied, because God had already made a way for him to succeed. But he said, well, I knew you, just like we do, it was all religious and pompous and whatever else. We're puffed up. We're not edifying other people. We don't build up, but we like to be puffed up. And he says, I knew you to be a hard man, and therefore I did this and that and the other, trying to sound all religious. But guess what? On accountability day, that's the kind of person that Jesus is going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. That's why he tells us, study to show yourself approved. You can't study to show anybody else approved, neither can I. We can help people study. We can help them as long as we are being led of the Spirit ourselves. It was a song many, many years ago. And I used to love, my grandmother used to listen to it all the time. Walter Hawkins, follow me as I follow Christ. Follow me. It's in the scripture. Follow me as I follow Christ. If I'm not following Christ, you need to find somebody who is. We're not supposed to cause each other to stumble. Not only are we not supposed to cause each other to stumble, we're not supposed to be driving the bus running over them either. Who do we think we are? We want to do everything but what we're supposed to do. And the Lord is saying, I'm not having your excuses. I'm not doing it. You are undercoming. I'm telling you that. But I've already made a way. So you can continue to undercome, which means that you have denied me. That's the Lord speaking. You have denied me even when I came back for you and said, come on, let's go, time to pivot. So all of it you're going to be accountable for. Every single thing we're going to be accountable for. And I say that to challenge you and to encourage you, not to frighten you. Study to show yourself approved. Not just have your head in the word, but you need to sit and you need to listen and you need to ask yourself who you are and what you represent. You need to ask yourself what you believe. You need to ask yourself how you regulate your thought process. The word of God says, take heed to how we handle strangers because some of us have entertained angels. I will tell you another thing, though. Some of us are entertaining demons because we don't know the difference or we have chosen to do that. Remember, we come in as babes, right? So we're not going to know everything. We're going to make those mistakes. That's how he teaches us. But a baby doesn't fall and stay down. The baby gets up, back up and keeps walking and running. And that's what we're supposed to do until we reach maturity, until we transition. It's not an either-or situation. It's a both-and. But we are too afraid or too stubborn or too stiff-necked to ask ourselves the question that could lead to our own deliverance. Our deliverance is embedded in our obedience, which is why Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey me. Why? Not for power tripping, but because he has already accounted for deliverance. If you want to experience my love, you have to obey me. It doesn't mean I don't love you, saith the Lord. It means in order for you to experience it in the way that I gave it, then you have to do what I say. Why? Because I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. You've got to decrease so that I can increase. Going up a mountain is an incline. Going down in a valley is a decline. Up a mountain is overcoming. Because even if it gets rocky along the way, we are still going up. We are the ones making the decision. To hang out in the pig pen. We are the prodigals. But he also has given us the opportunity to be delivered out of our own stuff. Undercoming versus overcoming. I don't care how successful we seem externally. The Lord is judging what's going on internally. So there are people that are wealthy in spirit and soul, even though they may appear not to be as wealthy externally, but God is going to deliver. He's going to show himself. Likewise, the same is true on the conversely. The same is true. There are people that appear wealthy on the outside, but are poor in spirit and soul. That's what all of this means. Go back and read the Bible. That's what all of it means. That's what he's telling us. His ways are higher. They're opposite. So when we think we're doing something, he's like, nope, not what I meant. That's why I need to lead you. That's why I need you to love me enough to obey me. When you love someone truly, and they truly love you, you don't have a problem doing what they ask you to do. And they shouldn't have a problem doing what you ask them to do. Not because you're trying to wield some power over it, but because that's the work that we do together. That's what it takes. And some days somebody may be instructing more than the other person, and vice versa. It ebbs and flows with the season, just like the ocean, which is obedient to God, just like the sun, which is obedient to God. It rises and sets when it's supposed to. The water, the oceans, ebb and flow when they're supposed to. Us, we got free choice. We think we know everything. And we haven't even gotten started yet. So position yourself. Ask yourself hard questions. Be honest. God already knows whether you're telling the truth or not. He just needs you to know whether you're telling the truth. That's where salvation is. That's where deliverance is. That's where healing happens, is when we can be honest about our own stuff. You don't have to wallow in it, but you got to get it straight. You can't repress and suppress all your life. Not if you want deliverance. Not if you want healing, restoration, joy, peace, love, the fruit of the Spirit, which is love that results in all of these other things. God is faithful who promised. So let's work on together being overcomers in Christ, not undercomers. And if we are undercoming, it's not in Christ. I promise you that. So, as always, I agape you. I bless you and yours, the entirety of your house and family. I thank the Lord for you. I thank you that he has blessed me to give me this opportunity to spend time with you, and I pray that he put a blessing on your life and on your time for taking the opportunity to be here today. Please check out, feel free to comment it respectfully with dignity in this community. That's what we do. If it's by faith, it must also be by love, so you're welcome to comment. In faith, which must also be by love, agape. Like, comment, share. Do all of those things for me, please, so it will help the channel and get the word of God out to as many as the Lord would have hear it. He died for all. All means all. He loves all. That's what his giving of himself is about, and he still continues to provide himself today. All means all. And who are we to think that we are God enough to say anything different? My name is Michelle. Thanks for joining me. I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.